Welcome to Soundwatch, a science podcast dedicated to communicating ecological issues and relevant research to Southeast Alaska. Soundwatch is comprised of students from the University of California, Santa Cruz, studying the effects of global change on the unique marine ecosystems here in Sitka Sound.
Imagine for a moment, you are traveling aboard Alex Baranov's ship. The year is 1799, and you've been traveling for months in the cold northern Pacific Ocean to reach Sitka. After a meal of shellfish, you and your fellow crew members start to feel awful. But it isn't just seasickness this time. After days of extreme pain, you and 100 other crew members give way to the silent killer that is harmful algal blooms.
Ooh. Hey Alaska, we are a group of students from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and today we are speaking to you from beautiful Sitka, Alaska. My name is Laura.
My name is Elsie.
My name is Xinwen.
And I'm Emily.
Thank you so much for having us. We've had a great time researching in Sitka for the past month, and one of the issues we have been studying is harmful algal blooms and their effects on local Sitkans. Xinwen, what exactly are harmful algal blooms?
Harmful algal blooms occur when algae grow out of control and produce toxins, harming people, fish, and marine mammals.
Okay, so then are all algal blooms harmful?
No, not all algal blooms are harmful. But the two most harmful blooms are those that cause paralytic shellfish poisoning and amnesic shellfish poisoning.
Oh, got it. But do you know, Elsie, is there an actual threat of this getting worse in Alaska?
That's a great question, Laura. These events can be amplified by global warming and increased pollution. So yes, the frequency of harmful algal blooms has been increasing.
Yikes. So then who all is at risk of being affected by this then?
Well, actually, as these harmful algal blooms become more frequent, there is also the potential for them to affect other aspects of ocean and terrestrial life. They can also affect subsistence and commercial fishing. For example, we have experienced some of these effects firsthand.
Yeah, I've actually seen this firsthand with mussels back home when I tested over 100 of them, and every single one of them had some trace of toxins.
That's crazy, but now that you say that, I've actually seen something similar too. I used to volunteer at a marine center, and we brought in a female sea lion who was having severe seizures from all the toxins in her food, which freaks me out a bit. Do you know if this is something that can affect humans?
Yeah, it actually does, which is pretty scary. Harmful algal blooms are putting humans more at risk for poisoning. We can see higher levels of risk in native Alaskan subsistence hunters. These hunters are 12 times more likely to be affected by paralytic shellfish poisoning than non-native subsistence hunters. Right now, the most prominent worry for Alaskans is paralytic shellfish poisoning. However, in the future, there's a higher chance due to global warming that we will see higher levels of amnesic shellfish poisoning. That's what killed those 100 people on Alex Baranov's ship.
And Emily, I know you've been researching that. What actually is the difference between paralytic and amnesic shellfish poisoning?
Yeah, so paralytic and amnesic shellfish poisoning are produced by two different kinds of plankton species, but both can be influenced by increased ocean temperatures. Paralytic symptoms can include coordination loss, speech defects, nausea, and vomiting, whereas amnesic shellfish poisoning can cause gastrointestinal symptoms, and in the most severe cases, can actually cause neurological symptoms. And both of these come with the consumption of shellfish that have been contaminated with these toxins.
So I'm assuming then that there's probably a major risk for impacts on shellfish fisheries?
Yeah, exactly. With increased frequency of harmful algal blooms around Alaska especially, this could pose a significant drawback for shellfish industries. It can restrict the species, areas, and time of harvest that shellfish can be collected. And in the worst case scenarios, it could lead to the closing of commercial shellfish beds. So I think it'd be really interesting to see how they're able to combat with these future changes.
So Laura, what are some of the things that local Sitkans are already doing to prevent harmful algal blooms?
Well, Native Alaskans have really stepped up to the plate on this issue. The Sitka tribe-backed Southeast Alaskan Tribal Toxins Partnership was founded in 2013 for this exact reason, to test shellfish toxins and decrease the risk of these harmful algal blooms to subsistence fishers. Their lab tests for water quality and toxin levels, so please get your shellfish tested. It's incredibly important.
Do you know what else we can do?
In addition to that, really, communication is key. Tell your friends and your family what you're seeing in your ocean and how it impacts you. The more we can communicate the risk to local Alaskans, hopefully the more we can combat that risk.
Thank you so much, Sitka, for embracing us during our stay. We are so glad that we got to share a little bit about harmful algal blooms with you all. And we are so happy that you could join us today. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.